Blog Talk Radio.
That's right.
You are now listening to Politics.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody, this is Everett Tucker with Mystic Politics Radio. We're doing an impromptu live show just because I'm fucking bored. Yeah, that's right, I said fucking because I've switched over the maturity level, so Blog Talk Radio does not have any underage people listening. And let's see here. I do not want to close those tabs. Of course, I'm having problems with the feed right now, just because I'm going live. Let's see here, we have a question in the chat room. Numbskull cannot find the stream again. Okay. Yeah, a lot of people, okay. And what you're hearing is, you're hearing me go impromptu here. There was a little lack in airtime, so I decided to get on here and vent. I was having a little bit of an issue today with some sheeple and clinging to a lot of these people who pretty much suck in the truth community and just people, it seems like if anybody goes on the air and says 9/11 was an inside job, people just cling to them. So it's pretty lame sauce. So if you're hearing this, you're either hearing it live or you're hearing a rebroadcast over at Blog Talk Radio or mysticpolitics.com. Or you're hearing me live, a rebroad on reverradio.net. Ma will not be with me tonight. Not only is it impromptu, but she's also moving. And let me see if anybody's hearing me live here. Typing a little bit of stuff into the chat room. So, anyways. Oh, shit. People ain't hearing me live. Okay. So I don't know. So basically what I wanted to get into was very kind of startling news. First off, let's get into some new news articles here. Stuff we didn't get to cover. Let's see here. Okay, Edna Lane Brown found guilty. No big surprise there. This from the Concord Monitor via Margaret Sanger Katz. A federal jury found Ed and Elaine Brown guilty of a combined 11 felonies yesterday, finding that the Plainfield couple fled the legal system and used guns and bombs to prevent their lawful arrest during a nearly nine-month standoff in 2007. The tax-denying couple, both of whom are in their 60s, now face virtual life sentences in prison. One charge alone, possessing improvised explosive devices, a.k.a. IEDs, carries a mandatory minimum of 30 years in prison. During the standoff in their fortified home, the Browns recruited supporters, accumulated weapons, constructed bombs, and compromised a shoot-off with U.S. Marshals to try to arrest them when U.S. Marshals tried to arrest them on bench warrants. But when they were, they were taken without violence during an undercover arrest in October 2007. Yesterday, as the verdicts were read by the court clerk, the once defiant couple sat quietly, holding hands and looking straight ahead. They remained silent when the jury and judge had left the room. the Bronze Warriors, who had contended with the couple, contended that the couple had armed themselves only in self-defense, declined to comment after the verdicts were announced. Prosecutors working on the case also would not comment, but acting U.S. Attorney Michael Gunninson welcomed the jury's decisions in a written statement. Today's verdict confirms that no one is above the law, he said. By rejecting the rule of law and substituting a personal code involving weapons, explosives, and threats, the defendants committed increasingly serious crimes. Their conduct has no place in civil society, and the jury's verdict brings the prosecution to an appropriate end. U.S. Marshal Stephen Monnier, whose office spent an estimated $3 million during the standoff, recommended that the team investigated and prosecuted the case. Okay, people, no big surprise there. Yeah, they got lynched, got pinched on 11 felonies. So let me go in here. Oh, let's see. We have Guyman Adams for I don't know what Guyman Adams' band is called. I know he was a former Revere Radio show host. Great guy. A lot of input. Little chat buddy there. I see him over at the Mystic Politics chat room. Yeah, you can listen on iTunes, Guyman. I don't know if you can hear me live now. I don't know. A lot of people have problems with the streams, but let me type something into the chat room. Yeah, all you have to do is there's a little button underneath the Revere Radio, or excuse me, the Blog Talk Radio player that says playing your default player. Dead air. Blog Talk player. Excuse me, I type at 2 words a minute. So yeah, I'm over here typing with 3 fingers. Just 2 fingers typing, and while my middle finger raised up to the NWO. Okay, so another article really quick. Let's skip to the good stuff. Okay, Obama and the Pope in their first meeting. All right, this is great stuff here. This is by Yahoo News. It's really by AP, but AP's cinching down on their story, so I just source Yahoo. Haha. Yeah, really fooling people there. Let's see. President Barack Obama sat down with Pope Benedict the, I don't know what the fuck, the 16th at the Vatican on Friday for a meeting in which frank but constructive talks were expected between two men who agree on helping the poor but disagree on abortion and stem cell research. Yeah, bullshit. It's a great honor, Obama says as he greeted the Pope, thanking him for his first meeting. They sat down at the Pontiff's desk and exchanged pleasantries before reporters and photographers were ushered out of the ornate room. The Pope was heard asking about the Group of Eight summit. I'll get into a story about that briefly. About the Group of Eight summit and the meeting of developed nations that concluded before Obama's arrival at Vatican City. Obama said it was very productive. So basically, they're talking about this, that, the other thing. Basically, just basically a photo op talking about stem cell research and whatever, and blah 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 blah. The Catholic Church wants to pretend like they're against stem cell research when you know we know that they're really behind most of this New World Order eugenics, which is going on here. You know, them being the white face of the black robe priest class. All right, another story here. Frail Kim Jong-il may only have months to live. Kim Jong-il is seriously ill and is likely to be dead before the end of the year, according to a source within the North Korean leader's family. This is by Julian Rial in Tokyo. This story comes to us on the 10th of July, 2009, or in the Annalucius Freemason calendar. That's July 10th, 6009. The story goes on. The latest speculation over the health of the reclusive Kim has been triggered by his appearance on state television on Wednesday to mark the 15th anniversary of the death of Kim Il-sung, his father and the man revered as the founder of North Korea. He looked gaunt. His hair had thinned dramatically, and he walked with a limp like a pimp. That wasn't part of the article, but it was believed that the 67-year-old Kim had suffered a serious stroke in August of 2008, and then his recovery had been delayed by a long-standing diabetes and heart disease. He does not have that much longer to live, and my sources say the doctor's diagnosis is that he will die before the end of the year, said Professor Toshimatsu Shigemura, I guess, an expert on North Korean affairs with Waseda University, told the Daily Paragraph, excuse me. He's still being treated for the main problem, which is complications arising from his diabetes, which is had been expected that he could die, and it had been expected that he could die as soon as this summer. he said, citing personal sources within Kim's extended family. Similar reports on Kim's health have been reported in the United States, with an official telling the Washington Times that the government estimates he has a year to live. He has essentially lost the ability to decide policy now, and is being carried, and that is being carried out by collective leadership made by Politburo, the party, and the military. He said there were no signs of a power struggle to become Kim's successor. He said, although there are suggestions that Kim Jong-un, his son and widely considered as being groomed to take over as heir, may now get the post. According to Professor Shimada, China has refused to support Kim Jong-un's bid for power and is instead calling for Kim's younger half-brother called Kim Hyung to take over. North Korea's unofficial spokesman in Japan has denied the dear leader is unwell. These reports are all misleading and he's in better health than people are saying, said Kim Myung-choi, executive director of the Center for U.S. North Korea Peace. The authorities there would not have released photos of him this week if they were not confident of his health. Well, the pictures they released of him, I mean, the dude looks like rail thin. He looks all kinds of skanky, and you can tell. I mean, he's not the little fat-faced demon dwarf that we all know and love to make fun of. Okay, let me check back in the chat room. Okay. Oh my gosh. Refresh the page, people. Okay, who can hear me now? Who can hear me over there? Just go to mysticpolitics.com, okay? Then you go over to... No, there shouldn't be music. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, I don't know how long it takes to archive, which I don't know. The title is Just Me Because I'm Bored. Okay. Jeez, I'm going to have to drop another link in here for people. Where is this? Okay. All right. Hey, someone hears me. Fucking awesome. What's up, SF, over there? Let's see here. Okay, well, whatever. Listen, you motherfuckers. Go over to blogtalkradio.com/mysticpolitics. I don't know what's going on with the stream, but I don't know. All right, we got another article here. It's called UN to Emerge as Global IRS. This source is News with Views by Cliff Kincaid, and this is courtesy of Today. Let's see. While our media sweep, the United Nations is proceeding with President Obama's acquiescence to implement a global plan to create a new international socialist order financed by global taxes on the American people. Wow. The conference on the new world, the world financial and economic crisis and its impact on development that begins on Wednesday will consider adoption of a document calling for a new voluntary and innovative sources of financing initiatives to provide additional stable resources of development finance. This is UN speak for global taxes. They are anything but voluntary for the people forced to pay them. See, there's a little link here. Read Cliff's book, Global Bondage, the UN Plan to Rule the World. There's a link there. And all these articles that I'm reading, you can find over in the blog section of Mystic Politics. Okay, let me go ahead and open this up in a new window over here. Okay. Now, once again, you can meet us over at – I'm going to go ahead and drop the call-in number – which is 646-649-0049. Okay. Now we're going to get back over to the article here. The most popular proposals, which would generate tens of billions of dollars in revenue for global purposes, involve taxes on greenhouse gas emissions and financial transactions such as stock trades – the document was agreed in on it was agreed to at an informal meeting of expert facilitators and was made available on Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. It's doubtful that any changes will be made to it. This is a very, very lengthy article, so you can go ahead and check that out basically for yourself. But basically, yeah, so you, Obama's working with the UN to be the liaison. Basically, the UN, hopefully in the future, they hope, will be responsible for implementing global taxes. We're not just pretty much funded initially by the American people, but, you know, they hope to get everybody on track with their little IMF world loans going out to everybody so they can, you know, use banks and not tanks to go take over nations as soon as they can't fulfill their little credit debts. So get that going on. And then, you know, once people are all enslaved over there, they're going to have to implement, you know, an unapportioned federal tax. And now instead of going directly over to the crown, I guess they're going to try to bypass that, bypass the queen, and go right over to the UN or under, you know, I think all this stuff is under the crown. You know, if you look at the 1213, if you look at the 1213 treaty, the British crown is underneath the Vatican anyways, and the UN is a branch of the Vatican pretty much from a little bit of the research I've looked into. So, you know, all kinds of lame shit going on there. Okay, another article here. This one's very interesting. Gore, U.S. climate bill will help bring around global governance. This is from Friday, July 10th, 2009, or 6009 in the Anna Lucia's calendar. All right, this is by Mark Morano from Climate Depot. And you, once again, you can read all these along with me over in the blog section of Mystic Politics. Okay, former Vice President Al Gore declared that the Congressional Climate Bill will help help bring about a global governance. I bring to you good news from the U.S., Gore said on July 7, 2009 in Oxford at the Smith School World Forum on Enterprise and the Environment, sponsored by the UK Times. Just 2 weeks ago, the House of Representatives passed the Waxman-Markey Climate Bill, Gore said, noting it was very much a step in the right direction. President Obama has pushed for the passage of the bill in the Senate and attended a G8 summit this week where he agreed to attempt to keep the Earth's temperature from rising more than 2 degrees Celsius, which is substantial. That'll kill off a number of fish and everything, as if a representative of the U.S. government can keep the world's temperature down, you know, like it wasn't based on just the sun's solar cycle. But going on, continuing with the article, Gore touted the Congressional Climate Bill, claiming it will dramatically increase the prospects of success in combating what he sees as a crisis of man-made global warming. But it is the awareness itself that will drive the change, and one of the ways it will drive the change is through global governance and global agreements. Gore's call for global governance echoes former French President Jacques Chirac's call in 2000. On November 20th, 2000, then French President Chirac said during a speech at The Hague that the UN's Kyoto Protocol represented the first component of an authentic global governance. And it's just, breaking from the article here. It's just amazing to me. Over the last 3 to 4 months, just how global governance, world taxes, Agenda 21, New World Order, new financial orders. I mean, all this stuff is just lining up, and it's becoming just media talking points. And everybody's just going along with this stuff, and it's just amazing. And people really need to wake up. This isn't – the New World Order isn't just kookery. It's stuff that's going on now. Now they're just admitting that it's there. You know, I mean, a lot of the tinfoil people listen to my show, you know, I've known about the New World Order for a long time, but it's very – now if you don't know about the new financial order of the ages, you must be some kind of recluse, man. You know, I mean, I don't know who isn't talking about this stuff or who doesn't know about it. But okay. For the first time, going back to the article, for the first time, humanity is instituting a genuine instrument of global governance, Chirac explained. From the very earliest age, we should make environmental awareness a major theme of the education, a major theme of political debate, until respect for the environment comes to come to be as fundamental as safeguarding our rights and freedoms. By acting together, by building this unprecedented instrument, the first component of an authentic global governance, we are working for What? The first, I don't know, a little kind of bad grammar there, but we're working for dialogue and peace, Chirac added. Okay. Known as Numbskull, had mentioned this real quick. Now, skipping ahead in the article here, global carbon tax urged at UN meeting. In addition, calls for a global carbon tax have been urged at recent UN global warming conferences. In December 2007, the UN climate conference in Bali urged the adoption of a global carbon tax that would represent a global burden-sharing system fair with solidarity and legally binding to all nations. You know, so these people are, yeah, okay, moving on. Finally, so I like the phrase binding to all nations, as in, you know, the wishes of the UN would supersede the laws of the nation anyways. But moving on. Finally, someone will pay for these climate-related costs. Othmar Schwank, a global tax advocate, wow, said at 2007 UN conference of the panel titled A Global CO2 Tax. Schwank noted that the wealthy nations like the U.S. will bear the highest burden based on the polluters pay principle, of course. This U.S. and other the U.S. and other wealthy nations needed to contribute significantly more to this global fund, Schwank explained. He also added, it is very essential to tax coal. The 2007 UN conference was presented with a report from the Swiss Federal Office for the Environment titled Global Solidarity and Financing Adaptation. This report stated that there was an urgent need for a global tax in order for damages to be kept from growing to truly catastrophic levels, especially in vulnerable countries of the developing world. Tens of billions of dollars per year generated by a global tax would flow into a global multilateral adaptation fund to help nations cope with global warming. Oh man, this is just amazing to me. I think I saw something on Blacklisted News, which is a great reference. I get most of my news from Blacklisted News, Raw Story, RogueGovernment.com, and Carolyn Harris also writes letters. If you go over to the blog section of my page, I feed readers for all those sites that I just mentioned. And on Blacklisted News, I saw a YouTube video. I couldn't watch it because I was looking at my, I was reading it on my CrackBerry. I don't have the Flash player enabled, but I saw there's a YouTube vid saying 30 scientists are suing Al Gore. I guess in regards to his misstatements in regards to global warming. Okay, let me go over here now. All right, I see none of you fuckers are calling. All right, so let's see here. We will go on to one more article here. Okay. Oh, this one's amazing. Let's see, short enough, I'm going to go ahead and read this whole article here. Okay. John Holdren, Obama science czar, says forced abortions and mass sterilization needed to save the planet from today, July 11, 6009, in the Anna Lucius calendar. Book he authored in 1977 advocates for extreme totalitarian measures to control the population. Forced abortions, mass sterilization, a planetary regime with the power of life and death over American citizens. The tyrannical fantasies of a madman, or merely the opinions of the person now in control of the science policy in the United States, or both. These ideas, among many other equally horrifying recommendations, were put forth by John Holdren, whom Barack Obama has recently appointed as director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, assistant to the President for Science and Technology, and co-chair of the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, informally known as the United States Science Czar. In a book Holdren co-authored in 1977, the man now firmly in control of the science of policy in this country wrote that, these are bulleted points, women could be forced to abort their pregnancies whether they wanted to or not. The population at large could be sterilized by infertility drugs, intentionally putting the nation's drinking water or food. Very interesting there. Okay, single mothers and teen mothers should have their babies seized from them against their will and given away to other couples to raise. People who contribute to social deterioration, i.e. undesirables, can be required by law to exercise reproductive responsibility. In other words, be compelled to have abortions or be sterilized. a transitional planetary regime would assume control of the global economy and could also dictate the most intimate details of Americans' lives using an armed international police force. Well, we're getting real close to that, I think. Well, I mean, we already have it in fact, breaking from the article. I mean, Bill Clinton signed away the signed bills in 1994 putting all U.S. troops under U.N. control, pretty much. You know, whether you know, when people think that the U.S. is breaking from the U.N.'s will, I mean, they're insane. Our troops are mandated under the U.N., and also it got ratified later to amend that there was no control over the numbers in which or the numbers of which or how many troops that the U.N. controls of ours. So when you look at that, I kind of lost my points there. But anyways, that in combination with the new fusion centers, which are out there where, you know, federal, ATF, and state police are now working with local police and fusion centers that take their cues directly from the federal government. I mean, that's just, we already have an international police force. I mean, you know, I was watching a great article or a great documentary on HBO. I believe it was called, like, Shout Out, and it was in regards to the First Amendment rights and how people were being crucified for talking about 9/11 truth. And it was kind of a left-leaning for me a little bit. You know, I tend to be more fiscally conservative. So, you know, but I saw a lot of truth in what they were saying, despite the fact that it was leaning all the way to the left. Very, very good stuff. I don't know if how many of my listeners out there have HBO, but check it out. It's something, I forget, it's Shout Something, I forget what it was called, but really cool stuff in regards to First Amendment rights. And, you know, I like to reiterate, people, you know, the First Amendment stuff goes both ways. You know, even if you don't like someone, what somebody's saying, in order for me to get out here and say motherfuck Obama and that I think he's, you know, a usurper of the presidential power and that he was not a U.S. national born citizen and he has no right to be our president. In order for me to say these things, we have to let guys like, you know, the hate speech guys, you know, the KKK cats, we have to fight for their rights to communicate freely as well. You know, it's just ideas, people, it's just talk. And if you're the type to get butthurt by what people are saying or other people's opinions, then, you know, pretty much just go fuck yourself. All right, so I'm going back into this article here. Well, I hate to break the news to you, but it's no hoax, no exaggeration. John Holdren really did say those things, and this report contains the proof. Below, you'll find photographs, scans, and transcriptions of the pages on the book on exoscience, Exoscience, very interesting name, co-authored in 1977 by John Holdren and his close colleagues, Paul Ann Ehrlich. The scans and photos are provided to supply conclusive evidence that the words attributed to Holdren are unaltered and accurately transcribed. Okay, the report was originally inspired by this article in Front Page magazine, which covers some of the same information given here. But that article, although it contained many shocking quotes from John Holdren, failed to make as much of an impact on public opinion. Why? Because, as I discovered when discussing the article with various friends, there was no proof that the quotes were accurate. So most folks, even those opposed to Obama's policies, doubted the veracity because the statement seemed too inflammatory to be true. In the modern era, it seems, journalists have lost all credibility. So they are presumed to be lying or exaggerating unless solid evidence is offered to back up the claims. Well, this report contains that evidence, and it does. I went ahead and when I was posting this blog entry earlier, I did see that there was all kinds of picture close-ups on the books and really quoting word for word. And I went ahead, there's a little link on the bottom that says screenshots and excerpts from this document can be seen here. Okay, so that is pretty much it. Once again, you can access all that stuff. And over at the blog section, there's a bunch of new stuff. And like I said, the articles page on mysticpolitics.com has disappeared. I went ahead and fused that content since it was just a series of feed readers. I went ahead and fused that page over with the blog page. And now, in addition to now Raw Story, Blacklisted News, Carolyn Harris articles, and RogueGovernment.com. All of those can get stuff. All those can be found over there. Yeah, all right. So let's see here. Let's do Mystic here. Let's do the Mystic Politics Radio roll call. Okay, drum roll, please. Let's see here. In the chat room now, we have Mystic Politics, Dumb Skull, and Sexy Face. Nothing like these 2 a.m. broadcasts. All right, people. Let's see here. I want one of you cats to call in here. All right, hold on. Give me a call, you fuckers. I see you lurking in the chat. I want to give Sexy Face an opportunity to defend his boy, Alex Ansari. And, let's see here. This guy right here.
Factual joke on straight boy Alex Ansari. And you guys know how I look, right? I'm about 5'7". You know, pretty toned, 160 pounds. You know, I'm every gay guy's wet dream. But yet a girl will never come up to me and say hi.
Yeah. So I see that Nums is in there. Nums cannot call. Let's see here. Sexy Face is good to call me in here. And a lot of the problems, a lot of people are like, Everett, why do you pick on Alex Ansari so much? And, you know, I hate to even say the guy's fucking name. I just can't even fucking stand that guy. You know, I hate to give him press or whatever. So, you know, basically, what's going on now is this guy is just quoting Alex Ansari, or excuse me, Alex Jones stuff. You know, I don't know what's going on with this, but I don't see how people, when I say the dude is a fear monger, I don't understand how people don't agree. You know, when you're like on the few broadcasts of hers of him that I had heard, you know, he's sitting there talking about black helicopters flung over Portland. You know, Korea is going to nuke Hawaii. You know, well, that didn't pan out, did it? Was there any reason to scream and cry into your microphone? Was there any reason to scare people into bunkering down and getting guns and ammo and everything? And you know, I just don't see the point. Was there any reason to talk about Chinese boots on American soil? The Russians are going to skull fuck little puppies and fucking cast their corpses into the fucking stream and launch biological weapons on Portland, Oregon. It's just fucking ridiculous. And yet these people, they cling to the sensationalism. Like I said before, I think a lot of people, they just, you know, the scary radio, it gets big numbers. People want to get emotionally involved in what they're listening to. So if the guy on the radio can scare you into thinking there's some kind of imminent danger, he's going to get more ratings because you're going to feel the need to go and it's addicting. You're going to feel the need to go listen to his radio broadcast again to emulate that little feeling that you had gotten before. Yeah, I'm cursing, so sorry about that. But fuck all these fucking little assholes, you know? Fuck all these fucking chumps. Fuck Alex Jones. Fuck Alex Ansari with all his fucking little co-opted GCN fucking people he has on there. There's a lot of fucking people I don't fucking agree with, and even some more on Oracle as well. You know, anybody that has open ties over to the GCN, anybody who has Burmas on their show, anybody's anybody who Albrecht, anybody, and the people know who I'm talking about here. It's just suspect. People who are still supporting Jack McClam, even though when he's an admitted CNP member, which is behind, which is basically just another fake right paradigm globalist network of people, you know, who've been involved with such parties as the Knights of Malta, the Jabalon Bullshit Society, a.k.a. the JBS. You know, all these people can really lick my nuts. All right, looks like Sexy Face is not going to call in to defend his boy, Alex Ansari. But Alex, is there anything you want to say for yourself?
practical joke on straight boy Alex Ansari. And you guys know how I look, right? I'm about 5'7", you know, pretty toned, 160 pounds. You know, I'm every gay guy's wet dream, but yet a girl will never come up to me and say hi.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's going on there. Yeah, you know, definitely. We put the show on mature so I can get some fucking venting off my chest here. But yeah, anybody who supports Cornkey or whatever that fucking, the co-opted patriot from Tennessee or whatever the hell his name is, that dude, whoever, you know, whoever's supporting Jack McGlam and the CNP and all these fake co-opted patriots, people who keep on talking about Alex Jones, you know, and people talking about Ron Paul. Ron Paul's a fucking Freemason, okay? He's part of the fucking Texas Grand Lodge. His daughters are members of the, the Rainbow Girls, you know, connotating a Luciferian link as Lucifer is the rainbow god, and he's gilding the rainbow stones as per, you know, Bible scriptural quotes. You know, so Rainbow Children are just a Luciferian, it's just a little Luciferian club that's going on there. Then we have, Rush Collars. So then, we have that stuff going on. Then his wife is a Eastern Star, and, yeah, I see Numbskull over there in the chat room talking about, Rush Limbaugh callers and his little snurdly call screener, Sean Hannity. And now there's stuff coming up about Sean Hannity. There's a link between, if you go over to Sean Hannity's website, Orwell's Ghost, who was a guest on here, I believe, on our third broadcast, Orwell's Ghost was bringing up the point that Sean Hannity has InfoWars links on his website, and when you mouse over the link, you can see it's a redirect through Clear Channel. Let me say that again. Sean Hannity of Fox News, a Rupert Murdoch company, has the links which are routed through Clear Channel, linking over to InfoWars and the Obama deception. Yes. Okay. So, it appears we have a 760 number. I believe this is our boy, Sexyface 13. Let's get him on the air. All right, you're on the air.
Everett. What's up, my man?
What's up, man?
Just kicking back with the youngling, watching some robots, listening to some mystic politics.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we have a special impromptu I'm bored episode going on here. What I love is this is just like something I'm going to throw out there, but once I put it on YouTube, MySpace, Twitter it, and then get it linked up, it'll probably get 1,000 clicks, and it's just a god-awful hour-long broadcast, so, you know. But what is your opinion on cats like Alex Ansari, in particular, who I believe just use fear-based sensationalism to kind of capture a lot of the GCN Alex Jones audience?
Okay. I hear what you're saying. I totally get why you don't like him, and I understand why you correlate him to Alex Jones quite frequently. However, I feel that the way Alex presents his show, it doesn't necessarily prescribe to Alex Jones. You know, and for me personally, I haven't listened to a lot of Alex Jones, so I don't have a lot of background to base that on. But I just think that the way that he presents his information, he has a lot of spirit behind him, and a lot of the feelings that he portrays is a lot of what I feel like. I get angry a lot. I'm like, damn, you know, everyone's complacent. What the fuck, you know? I'm sick of it. Like, I'm just tired of everyone's complacency. You know, just today, I was getting called all these names and told to hush, oh, we can't talk about freedom, we can't talk about these kind of things, you know, the neighbors might hear all this, you know, and it's frustrating, and I feel his frustration, and I think that might come across sometimes as fear-mongering. However, you know, I come off the same way a lot of times, and I don't consider myself a fear-monger, you know, I, it's just, there's an urgency, and it might not come across the way that everybody, you know, wants to perceive it always, but I think that he does have a good mission that he's, you know, on.
I will say this, at least laughing at nuns in the chat room there, but the best thing I've ever heard Alex Ensery say in regards or defending what I feel is fear mongering is he's like, well, maybe I'm just really afraid, you know, and that's a legitimate thing, you know. I wouldn't halt his free speech in any way. He has to know what's going on. And for instance, like, did you listen to his interview with Dr. Len Horowitz?
When was it?
I don't know. It was a couple weeks ago. But he had that Knight of Malta, Len Horowitz, on there after everybody on Oracle had just gone into extensively how Dr. Len Horowitz was doing, like, a Luciferian ritual, how he was doing the love tone, and how he was going to try to summon...
That's the rainbow guy.
Yeah, like, the rainbow dude. Rainbow, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. You know, I had heard about that. I wasn't able to catch that interview in particular just because I was busy at work that day. But I did hear about that, and I was in between working and trying to listen, and I had heard that it was not the same guy, but if it was, I'll take your word for it.
It's Dr. Len Horowitz. Yeah, he had him on the show, and he failed to mention anything about him being a SMOM, Sovereign Militant Order of Malta, you know, who have taken these horrible pledges to honor the Vatican above all other countries. And, you know, if you look at what's going on, and I link up Ensery with Alex Jones because the guy, Alex Ensery, for some reason, he requested to be my friend on Facebook, okay? So I'm sitting there, every time I log into Facebook, all I see is InfoWars, Alex Jones. The dude promotes GCN and Alex Jones broadcast more than he does his own network on Oracle Broadcasting. And a lot of the guests that he has on are the same type of guests. You know,
really?
So, I mean, yeah, like,
I'm his friend as well on MySpace, and I don't see those. I hardly ever see Alex logging onto MySpace. I mean,
on Facebook.
You know, oh, on Facebook? Okay, yeah, I don't check my Facebook as much.
Yeah, no, every time I log on there, for instance, it's at least three times a week. At least three times a week I see stuff on there linking over to Infowars.com, over this. And, you know, I really think that Alex, he's using Oracle to build himself an audience up to basically move over to GCN based on the amount of ass-kissing that he does to Alex Jones, and which is substantial, you know. And, he, you know, he even got mad. I asked him a simple question on one of his streams where he said he was going over to Infowars.com to check out a talk between David Icke and Alex Jones. So I asked a simple question. I said... I believe it was quote. So you're supporting Alex Jones now, and he responded back with what, you don't like my free speech, blah 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 blah. I forget. I send off the link to a lot of hosts on Oracle's. So on Oracle, so you know I just and this guy he's not. I just think what my main problem is, people have the right to say whatever they want, but when someone willfully disregards information and deliberately fear-mongers, the way he was going, I think you missed that one broadcast when he was talking about Chinese troops invading America. He was talking about it almost in present tense, like it was happening right now, like Chinese boots on American soil. That's a present tense situation. So he's referring to it like it's happening right now, which was, I was just laughing. I was over in Josh Reeves on the globalreality.com or globalreality.chatandgo.com, a great resource for everybody, Mr. Josh Reeves. I was over on in his chat room, and everybody was just cracking up about it, that stomping evil cat. It reminded me just like the same tone, the same kind of BS. It was just like, your name is Chris, correct?
Yeah.
All right, Chris, did you ever catch the Y2K broadcast from Alex Jones that Bill Cooper had replayed?
Yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah, that's exactly what was going on. That is why I call Alex Ensery a fearmonger. The first time I called him a fearmonger when he was, I was listening to a broadcast after everybody else on Oracle had dismissed the swine flu as a total hoax. This guy was on his broadcast talking about quarantine. They're going to use this to quarantine us. They're going to give us forced injections. It's going to be at gunpoint. You know, scientists with soldiers at gunpoint shooting up our kids with vaccines and formaldehyde. I'm like, come on, man. You know, there's a way to broadcast, and there's a way to get news out there without sensationalizing and utilizing fear to get more listeners or to get people more wrapped in your broadcast.
I hear that. But I mean, we're seeing news articles coming out now where forced inoculations are coming out, you know, later this summer or perhaps, you know, in a few months. I saw one on Blacklisted News just the other day talking about, you know, forced inoculations. And so, I mean, these things are you know, real probabilities in the America that we know today. And maybe he does get a little excited at times, but I think
The info is the info. And the point is you know, Alex Jones, I look at PrisonPlanet.com too. When you're looking at a lot of the news sources for the type of stuff that we talk about, it's basically they're there first because they have more of a staff to go scour the AP and Reuters and a lot of these other companies. Okay? Yeah, and, you know, the forced inoculations, that may be a real thing. But what I find is you're not going to convince anybody of a logical mind by fear-mongering and screaming and yelling. To get these people who aren't already on the bandwagon, you need to portray the information in a calm, rational manner to get them to really listen. And, you know, it's much more persuasive to me. So, you know, I wonder, you know, by sensationalizing all this, this is basically to try to get people to go run and run for the border. And instead of, you know, going and talking to people and, you know, getting the information out there, because once a certain percentage of people have this information, the game is over. Okay? The game is over. But what's happening now is using these fear-based tactics, it's going to get people into it's me. It gets people into a self-preserving mode versus a community mode. So people are worried about stocking up on personal resources from themselves and stockpiling food. And I'd like to add that I'd be very wary of anybody who's trying to sell you bulk food. You know, I think that the stock holding or the stockpiling law is, I believe it's more food than you can eat in 30 days. Well, that's pretty ambiguous. And that verbiage probably got removed in Homeland Security too. So, you know, I think people need to be very wary of any place that's telling them to buy survivalism products, buy food, buy anything like that, because those companies as a business have to be compliant with Homeland Security, meaning Homeland Security can give them a call and threaten to put everybody in prison unless they release their client list. And I'm sure that happened. Ma Justice, I don't know how much of this I want to say. Let's see here. She had called up a couple companies, I'm not going to say who they are. She had called up a couple companies and asked them if they comply with Homeland Security, and she got silence in return, and then they ended up elevating her to a manager who could not answer the question. So I think people need to be very aware that these places probably are not all friendly entities. You know, so they're going to take your Federal Reserve notes, let you stockpile food, and then you're going to get put on a list. So, you know, if you're going to stockpile food, if you feel, you know, from a fear-based paradigm where you feel the need to do all the survivalism stuff, try to grow your own food. Try to, you know, send you, the wife, the kids out, put them on separate grocery lists, and go out and buy it independently. Do not buy all your food from one place. Okay, that's just a little side note there. But, and also, A lot of the thing I think where it's a problem with the fear-mongering is the credibility gets lost. Like, I don't hear Alex Ansari. I never heard him come back on after Korea didn't nuke Hawaii and say, hey, it looks like I was a total asshole the other night. It looks like I scared a bunch of people for no reason, and it was nothing to worry about. I don't hear any of these people saying that. You know, and it's just like Y2K, it's all these things. It's the sensationalism of a certain event. And you know, when you do that, when you go in there and promote fear like that, you're pretty much just doing the NWO's job for them. because they're basically trying to get people who are inclined to fight to jump the gun and do it early. I think it's like Bill Cooper says, you know, the person who fires the first shot is going to lose in the court of public opinion. So, you know, they're trying to get a bunch of rebellious militants to revolt all on their own. Would you agree to that to some respects?
I do. Let me jump back for a second and go back to what you were saying about storable foods. I absolutely agree with you on that part. I don't think that, you know, the world's going to end tomorrow. So having, you know, a shit ton of food stored up right now, you know, blowing all your money on storable foods is not the right idea. You know, if you, you know, moderate yourself and you buy, you know, you set a budget for yourself and you say, I'm going to buy X amount of canned goods every couple weeks when I go to the store, and I'm just going to, you know, gradually build myself up a sustainable supply. I mean, that is where you need to be. You don't need to be like, oh my God, I got to go buy, you know, $1,000 worth of bulk food right now, because tomorrow, you know, who knows? It's not like that.
Right.
You know? And yes, having a garden is amazing. I mean, it's done so many things for me, just spiritually, and you know, I'm making omelets with homegrown vegetables every morning. It's amazing. You know, it's great.
That's awesome.
But what you were saying again, yeah. We don't need to be fear mongering, of course. However, with the Korea thing, he was just reporting on an article that was posted, you know, and just reeling. He may have, you know, the way he presented it may have been a little bit flamboyant. But he's just reporting on articles that are posted out, you know, in the blogosphere. So.
Yeah, there's a way to talk about it. You say, in recently released blah 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 blah. For instance, if I had read that Korean article, I would have said something to the effect of, "Okay, I don't believe this is an actuality. I don't think in any way that the North Korea is going to nuke us, being that Kim Jong Il is a former CIA asset and is probably clandestinely working for the U.S. government, and they're not going to bomb nuke America." Because that'll put people into a fear-based system where they're not going to buy Chinese products for a couple months, and that would bankrupt China, who they're trying to build up as the next great empire of the world. So if you look at what's going on, it doesn't make any sense for them to attack America, who are the shopping mall for the world, number one. And number two, there's no reason to, because they can already do whatever they want under Homeland Security 1 and 2. So there's no reason for another attack. So, you know, if you look at logic, you would understand that this is just a fear tactic for whatever reason. It's just kind of like how if you hold a pale horse, it kind of gets into another one is weapons of mass deception. I believe Josh Reed played that over there. Basically just getting into how the whole red thread of the Russian army has always been a fake. It's always been a fraud. There's never been any threat from the Russians. You know, the whole time that we were supposedly in a Cold War with them, we had a space program with them. In the late 70s and early 80s, we built a spaceship for them. Not a spaceship, a shuttle. We had built a space shuttle for them. So there's never, ever been a communist threat. But it's just like this, but it keeps people into a fear-based paradigm, just like the Soviets did. That's what China and Korea, that's how they're being presented now. So there's, you know, so when... Go ahead.
When I hear those kind of articles being presented, I look at it objectively, and I'm thinking, I always think of it like this, okay? There's hopefully there's those one or two, hopefully more than one or two people who maybe have never heard the network, maybe have never tuned into the broadcast, and they're hearing it for the first time, and they don't have a clue about what's going on. And if that kind of presentation gets them, you know, a little bit amped up, like, oh shit, maybe I better look into something like this, and that leads them to, you know, Oracle or Blacklisted or any of the other, you know, amazing news sources that we pull from. If it brings them to them because you got a little bit freaked out, well, you know, I don't think that the way that he's presenting things or whoever it is, the way that they're presenting those kind of things is for you or I. It's for the people that maybe aren't looking into it as much. Do you know what I'm saying on that?
Yes, yes, I do. All right, Chris, I appreciate the call. We have another caller here. I'm going to try to sneak them in. We only have 5 minutes left. I want to thank you for calling in, brother, and call back anytime.
No problem, man. I love you. Take care.
All right, man. Bye. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah. I'm calling to listen mostly, but I was listening to someone that was saying that there's no threat from Russia and there's no threat from anywhere and it's all made up.
That's me.
Now, you know, is that something you agree with? It's kind of, there's been wars throughout history. And, you know, there's every large country that's next to a small country takes it over in history. And, you know, so to think that there's no threat, the reason there's no threat to us because we're the strongest in the world. So we're kind of comfortable in that position and we can, you know, talk down our noses, but every other country is not in the same position.
Well, every other country is in, the problem they're having is with the U.S. government, you know, which is, I believe, is just a cover for the federal government is just another extension of the Illuminati New World Order by proxy. So, you know, they're using Americans a bulk of power and resources to go take over and bring democracy to all these other countries. So the problem that people are having in the world is us, number one. And number two, the what I was referring to with Russia, number one, I don't believe there has ever been a threat in America of a Russian invasion. I think all of this was to feed the military-industrial complex to build nukes and to develop space-based weaponry, which the federal government wanted to develop, and it's a way to fleece the public through taxes and redirection of resources to fuel the military-industrial complex, which is the same thing that the Russians did on to their citizens. Now, a lot of this documentation, a lot of this is coming from stuff I've read over in the NWO Library by Carolyn Harris. Forget what meeting it was, but Stalin, or I think it was Lenin, Truman, all met up, all who were 33rd degree Freemasons, and basically created the Cold War after a meeting that they had together. And, you know, with the world, the way to rally a nation together is to unite people by a fear of an outside or exterior enemy, and that's what I believe has happened. Okay, we got about a minute left here. Do you want to respond?
Yeah, well, and you know, I understand the point that people will use a threat to, you know, in order to gain power or to create some problem to gain power. But to say that Germany the Cold War was created. It was created after World War II. Russia took over part of Germany, and look what they did in that part. They completely took it over. They took over Poland. They went to war in Afghanistan. You know, after World War II, there was a big vacuum, and whenever there's a vacuum, everyone who can tries to take power there. And there was a struggle between democracy and and communism right there in Germany between Russia and U.S. That created the tension that extended where Russia was trying to push communism throughout the world, and America was trying to defend the freedom.
Yeah, but like I said, but how does that affect the fear mongering done over here in America in regards to a shared mutual destruction with nuclear proliferation? How does that affect, you know, the fact that some other minor country in Europe was affected by Russia? How does that affect us, or how does that speak on the threat that was really sold to us?
Well, if there's a huge country that's a threat to its neighbors and that doesn't believe in freedom and has nuclear weapons, you know, nuclear weapons came around in the World War II, and it's something that whoever we elect to govern should be concerned about. You know, when there's bombs that these countries have, any country, and Russia was a big country that had them, and they threatened the world.
Okay, caller, I'm going to go ahead. We have 40 seconds left. I'm going to go ahead and drop you. I want to thank you for calling in. And real quick, you know, people need to realize that the Freemasons, you know, by proxy, I think there's other global priest class usurping the Freemason power. They've been infiltrated a long time ago, way before the Jesuits. The Freemasons haven't been good for a long time, okay? So, you know, when you start to look at the president of Iran, you know, Lenin, Gordon Brown, and I forget the new prime minister's name, Osama bin Laden, the Prince Al-Mason, probably in the Boulay Society, it's secret societies. There's no reason to be afraid. All right, people, I'm out of here. I got 8 seconds left. I love you all. Have a great night. Bye-bye.